morning.
Convene Johnson County Commissioners, please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the clerk has circulated the minutes from April 3rd, 2022. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. First up, Commissioners, is the agreement with Wyoming Department of Family Services for district court to collect child support. Paige cannot be here this morning, and neither can the county attorney's office. However, the county attorney's office did review this contract. You'll notice in the copy in your package, Tucker has actually already signed the contract. So this isn't any change from the previous. This allows us to collect the child support payments at the district court, which I think is a critical service for those kids who are entitled to those child support payments. So with the
duties.
Yes. We'll see exactly what we do, how they put it into the system, and then of course all the extra pages that they have to add.
Move to approve the cooperative agreement with the Department of Family Services.
Second. There is a motion and a second. Is there any discussion or public comments on the agreement with the Wyoming Department of Family Services and the clerk of district court to collect child support payments? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Have a liquor license transfer. Let's see. The new proprietor is here. So good morning, Carlo.
Good morning.
So Carlo, it looks like you guys have purchased the Cowboy Saloon, and so we're going to transfer the license to MC Harper LLC, doing business as the Cowboy Bar and Grill.
Correct.
Madam Clerk.
Chairman Rodney, all the fees have been paid, the advertising has been done, and it's been signed off and approved by the Liquor Division and Cheyenne.
All right. We would open it up for public comment on the transfer of the retail liquor license to MC Harper LLC. Carl, this is your chance. Any thoughts, changes, anything about the business?
You know, the biggest thing that we're going to do is we're just going to be opened up more. The served food starting at 11 every day. So that's right now is the biggest thing that we're going to be changing. Everything else is going to be pretty much that as well. Okay. We're pretty excited about the whole new adventure. Really, really excited, I should say.
Any public comment on the transfer of the retail liquor license? Public comment? Public comment. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, is there a motion to approve the transfer of the retail liquor license?
I make a motion to transfer the retail liquor license to MC Harper.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you guys very much.
We'll get that signed and attested today for you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. Mr. Waller, I understand in addition to the amended plat, you also have discussion on the Eagle View aerial agreement.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Do you want to do the Eagle View really quick, or do you want to get Craig out of here? Craig's present on behalf of the
land. Let's go ahead and handle the amended plat first, and then we'll do the.
Sounds
aerial
good.
Photography.
So Craig's here. Chase, if you have any questions, delivered to you guys last week, and I appreciate Jody working with me on getting this to you guys. I gave you some maps of where it's at. So the landowner is Robert Allen. He owns lots 54 and 55 of the shores of Lake Smith subdivision. And that property has a hill that runs through it. He wants to build kind of up on the middle of the property. And in their covenants, they have restrictions that say you cannot cross a lot line to build a house. And so in their covenants, they say if you amend the plat, you have to follow the county's process and regulations. So what we have before you is just basically straightforward consolidation of those two lots into one lot, renumbering it to lot 54A. A copy of the plat was provided on 11 by 17. This is the report was pretty straightforward, following Article 8 of the new regulations. We do ask that the applicants notify adjacent landowners, put a notice in the newspaper of the intent, reducing the number of houses. It's pretty cut and dry. And the process that is followed is really more or less going through the public process with the meetings with planning and zoning and the meeting with the county commissioners. So that's kind of the hurdle. Otherwise, it's pretty cut and dry and straightforward. Everything on the existing plat carries forward to this new plat. Surveyor put all the notes and warnings and also made references to the book and page on the original record downstairs in the vault. The HOA did receive notice as an adjacent landowner, and then they also provided a letter back to the county confirming that there was no issues to basically make that into a 4.1 acre lot versus two acre lots. And planning and zoning signed the plat and made recommendation to forward it to you guys for final consideration.
All right, Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Chapman?
I don't know if we have anything to add, or
Jim did a good job.
It only gets real complicated if we increase the lots and add more. Then it obviously gets into problems. DEQ, they didn't want to really get into the water and sewer review from 2006. So their comment was pretty much less houses, less complications. So everything still stands from the original review. We'll just, I think that this will put it at 84 lots rather than 85 in the subdivision.
And so, Jim, the lot immediately next to it looks like it was also originally two lots and joined as one. But was that lot renumbered as 21? Or is that?
This one right here,
Mr. Commissioner, I believe on the parcel viewer that's just shown as one parcel, even though it's two separate deeds for two separate lots.
Okay, so but just so that we're keeping some consistency with what we're doing.
Yeah, there's two landowners in addition to Robert Allen out in the subdivision that have multiple lots, and they own a house. They have chose to have their tax assessment simplified, so they have one tax assessment with one house. It still allows them the ability because they controlled, and you can kind of see that on that map where if you actually look, this house right here, they constructed the house entirely here so they could sell this lot, and then the neighbor, that's not as cut and dry, but it's in essence the house is on the one lot. They could market and sell the other lot. This one, he would own one entire lot.
Yes, from that lot line looks like it goes kind of to the bedroom window. So.
It does. That was the developer's hired employee that constructed that first house right after it was approved and subdivision was approved. And so those two lots, in essence, will always have to stay together because The house is located on the one, but they have some other improvements that were allowed to cross the lot line. It's just your structure couldn't cross the lot line.
And you can see the driveway is...
The septic system's on the other lot too. We need the toilet.
Commissioners, any questions on plumbing or anything else for Mr. Waller?
Great to ask.
Might get an answer.
It's flowing downhill. To the leach field, not the lake.
All right, so again, before we get into this, is this a lot line adjustment or just merge the lot?
It's actually a re-subdivision the way our regulations are written. So they presented an amended plat to re-subdivide. The board asked some questions on, is it a lot adjustment? And the problem with the state law is once you're in a platted subdivision, you can't just modify a lot line. You have to actually follow the subdivider's intent in some aspects. But for all practical purposes, this is a re-subdivision for a boundary line adjustment to consolidate lots. I think it was presented to planning and zoning at the April meeting, and I think actually we would have probably been in with planning and zoning in March if we wouldn't have modified our timelines. So this would have been done and approved, and it really should be a simple, straightforward process. So that's where it's a boundary line adjustment, but the boundary line will go away on the plat itself. We made a couple of statements in the dedication about, you know, this new plat will eliminate the lot line and the easements according to what's shown on that record. So it should be pretty straightforward. As much as possible.
So I think the proper course action would be a motion to approve the re-subdivision of lots 54 and 55 into lot 54A.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the re-subdivision of lots 54 and lot 55 of the shores of Lake Smith into lot 54A. Is there any discussion or public comment? Public comment. Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of the re-subdivision of lot 54 and 55 into 54A in the shores of Lake Smith, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I really think that that lot 52 and 53 should be forced in as doing the same thing.
I've talked about it. The problem that we ran into is the only thing in their covenants just talks about the building crossing the lot line, but with the way that they originally built that thing and developed it, there's no way they could ever separate it. The water tap is actually in a goofy spot as well. So realistically splitting it to ever build on the other lot, I was up there, it's next to impossible. That's why I think Mr. Allen's doing what he's doing is there's a drainage in there, and there's a lot going on the lots when you start kind of looking how they created the individual 2-acre lots. Some of them should have been 4-acre lots, not 2 acres. It's going to be a lot of careful site planning for construction. Best I can say. But I can mention it to the owner and say, hey, don't ever... it would be a monkey wrench. Anyway.
All right. Talk to us about Eagle View aerial telemetry.
I made some copies, and that's why I was a little late. I was just running them. I talked to Barry last night
in April.
Thank you.
Mid-April meeting, I came in and presented to the board just real quick that this project was coming down. And I'll let you pass this around, Linda. This is overall kind of math of what I gave you guys in April.
COVID has thrown a lot of monkey wrenches and stuff. So this last legislative session, the Department of Revenue presented some
budgetary items for funding for the 2022 aerial imagery project for the entire state of Wyoming. So the blue area on that map, the Department of Revenue is looking at acquiring around high density areas throughout the state, which is a lot of areas. When they presented the funding, everything was kind of based on 2020. And they discovered that there was 1,000 square miles of new area that could be added. And so I quick jumped on to make sure we get our buy-up area, because we spent some money to do that in 2020. And what we have is generally, in addition to what was approved back then for the buy-up area for 2022, which would, again, get us aerial imagery up off of Hazleton Road. The state, Steve and I, from the assessor's office, were talking about the area around Buffalo that will be acquired, and he had asked for kind of squaring up the one boundary so that it's more consistent with what's happening along the front of the mountain out. And I don't know, I haven't heard if that was included or not. It's not a massive area. It's $100 a square mile, basically. So I'm going to find out today. But the gist is the contract is before us. Barry reviewed it last night. He and I visited late last evening about the specifics in the contract. He mentioned some things that he did when the legislature was meeting, so I think they did review the contract back when the legislative body was in session. He talked about the contract from February, which I didn't even know until yesterday what was going on. Just as we're still bound by the original contract we signed in 2020 for the product. We own the imagery for the vision that's straight down, which you see on the map server. The state of Wyoming has the rights to what the state acquired, and then to utilize the oblique imagery from the assessor's office and things like that, we're bound by the terms of licensing with the Eagle View, so there's no changes what's happening. This is strictly to acquire the new imagery, fit it into the update of what we did in 2020, and then move on. The cost is $11,420, and in 2020 we were looking at about $15,000, so I knew we were going to be lower because nobody had contacted me. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to make sure we got our buy-up area. That's why I came in and talked to you last month. I did plan on putting it into the budget for 2022 and 2023 because it was really kind of turning into a train wreck on whether or not we were going to get the information or if it was going to go past July 1 and we'd be looking at flights later in the fall when the leaves are gone. Because the idea is to gather the photography before the vegetation comes in on the trees. Since we're on the mountain, our photography was gathered really between May 10th and June 10th, 2020. So we're right at the window of opportunity to get our photography. Barry's thoughts last night were he didn't like the contract, but that's because he's an attorney and he says it's not how I would write the contract. But he knows that the last time we got into this discussion, it took a month and a half to get that all worked out. So is it worth $11,000 delay or getting the data and making sure we move on? And Barry says, find out from the contractor if we're still bound by the original terms, because that was the big question, and yes, we are. So Barry feels, let's sign it, move on. He said, or he's asking me just about funding, and I said, $11,420. We have more than enough right now in that consulting line item under my budget to cover that $11,000 and not have to come in on a budget request. If we do that, then when we come in and talk to you about my budget for 2022 and 2023, we should be able to kick out what I added in under that consulting line item, and then the budget will stay the same as it was this year, which is pretty, I think that's good. We'll still get our product. And then there is some talks about looking at this in 2024, and I think if that's a possibility, for 11 grand, this is a pretty good investment.
I've got a question as to why it comes out of your budget and not the assessor's budget.
I think because of practicalities of where it's always been for a consulting line item related to like GIS and map server, it's historically been in the planning department for quite a few years. It's never been a massive amount. So the aerial, so like the map server was in there, Deb pays for various things, but we looked at it from the standpoint of what's the greatest good happening with that line item, and it really impacts not just one office. It's the whole county gets a benefit from the map server, and everything is on the map server. So I don't mind taking it out of that line item because it really is a consulting type item. If we go back and think about budgeting, we had that line item at 30,000 or 32,000. We've cut it back to 22,500 to try to be proactive with budgeting, and I don't think this is going to kill it at all, and I think it's pretty reasonable, and we still stay in the modest curve of the function of the government, and we're not having the spikes, you know, 50,000 here and then, you know, 50,000 5 years later. So it's going to put my operating budget probably this year probably right around 115,000, and I think if we look back last year, we were about 102,000. So if I don't have to spend it, I will not touch that consulting line item without your guys' permission for items like this. So we're just, you know, if I could get it cheaper, I probably would, and I might be able to knock off $1,000 if I argued with them a little bit. But we're getting a real, I think we're doing really, really good for what we have.
I just try to protect your budget because it actually affects other offices.
Yeah.
And the assessor, I visited with them, and they have found it very useful.
Yeah.
So, and I use Map Server a lot.
And we coordinate. I mean, it's, there's a lot of coordination. You know, it's happening on the back end. I just sent over some stuff, and I totally forgot because we have a new chief. And, yeah, it's April, but sometimes you forget about all the bells and whistles of what's going on with dispatch and just law enforcement. And so, like, the Eagle View product, I just sent it over to Sean and said, hey, I forgot Jason was on this, and this is actually a product for you. It's more widely used on the back end side than we really can account for on the front end side, and the front end being what you see on the map server. The back end side is what the assessor's office is seeing all the time and gets in and logs in on that program for EagleView. And we can't, the governor did not want to have that information out there in the public because of what, how it could be misused. But it is an invaluable tool. And I talked to like the fire guys and just the ability to know on a second story house, for example, if there's a fire and they can touch that stuff and they know that there's an exit on a second story building, it's so invaluable. And you just, an aerial imagery shows where a door is and things like that. And so I know with the assessor's office, it is a huge asset. They do have, they have been tracking, as an example with this tool, they've been able to track the parcels and what changes. I don't know, you won't know what the overall cost is from like their office, but Dixie Huxtable down in Converse County, she's been using this program for the longest in the state of Wyoming, going clear back to like 2005, 2006, and she can account for exactly how much it saved her office in money by using that photography. So it's amazing, and I think the citizens love it. I wish we could afford to cover the whole county. I don't want to. Yeah, I'll go for this cost. So,
okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Waller on the contract, the area that's going to be covered, or the cost? Get a motion that we can have the discussion.
Okay, move to approve.
Second. Got a motion and a second to approve the Tometry International Corp. and Johnson County, Wyoming agreement. Is there any discussion or questions for the county planner or the commissioners on the pictometry project? Public comment or questions?
to all the new aerials, if anybody has any questions. So on the map server, when you look at the background layers, the 2020 is what we're talking about, and there will be a 2022. So it's a good added addition to it.
There's no further discussion. Then, commissioners, all those in favor of approving the Eagle View agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just give you this one. This is an original.
They decided that Jody will have it for you.
Okay. They'll have to go down and get signed and then come back. And they do mention costs like they did before. So the board knows we'll have to send, and I'll get an invoice, and we'll go through the voucher system. I did talk to the contractor, and I said my goal would be to have this cleared out at the last bill paying in June, so that it's taken care of under this current budget, and we don't have to worry about funds for next year. Thank you, Gordon.
Anything additional from the planning department?
Yeah, we got some resolution. Colbs were in here a couple weeks ago about their road. We're getting resolution. Planning and zoning allowed them to go ahead and work on getting a secondary access easement into that property with road and bridge, and coordinating and working with county attorney's office, Barry, to get the resolution resolved. We know it's going to take longer, so there probably will be a final plat that comes in first, and then they're still working on an agreement and everything. Scott approved the access point so they can get in legal access to the lot. So that's going forward. And I don't know. I think we might see a stalemate with things. Interest rates are really high. They haven't been this high in a long time. So I think it would be kind of interesting to see how that affects building, construction. I did make a note. It's 2005 is the last time we were at these interest rates. 2006. So I don't know. See what happens in the chaos.
All right.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Thanks, Mr. Ball.
Thank you.
Mr. Greeno, you have an update on Lake Spin Operating Department.
We have hired a new person, Megan Curry, who is joining the department, and Cheryl will have the month of June and the last week of May to train her. She is a Navy vet. She worked on helicopters. Very well qualified, hydraulics and electrical system, and I'm very excited to have her on board. She's a nice gal. She has other experience too, but that's just the part that jumped out at me that I thought Bob might be interested in.
I'm kind of a naysayer when it comes to new personnel, and I don't have an axe to grind with the girl. I just feel like the issues that I'd like to come over.
Okay. All right. Just quickly, can we get updates on a couple of our projects that we have ongoing? Commissioner Greeno, how is the update to the JOCO bylaws coming?
Slowly but surely, the group that I'm working with wanted to get the Orbis report from over there before they started anything very exciting. Also, I have not talked to Crosby on his opinion on that. Rick was going to get on Zoom, and I have not heard back. But those should be forthcoming.
All right. Hey, Commissioner Perry, how about the Joint Powers Board fuel station between the city, the school, and YDOT?
Well, I'm still waiting on the city and YDOT to have a meeting so that I can get them to adjust their
Joint Powers Agreement.
Joint Powers Agreement.
All right.
I thought that by now we would have had a meeting, but I think it's been 3 or 4 years since it happened.
I guess I would wonder how under the Joint Powers the heck they can do that. We'll leave that to the Department of Audit. So, all right. So we'll keep that on our to-do list. Madam Clerk, did you have additional businesses you needed us to transact?
Chairman Novotny, I do need to ask about the final bill pay, because we'll be getting that.
Okay, we need to set that date. So what is your preference, Madam Clerk?
You'll meet on the 7th and the 21st, so sometime, like, I don't know, the 29th, is that, or even the 30th, I guess. It really is up to you guys. We'll probably need to meet in the morning.
Okay. Which would you prefer?
Well, it really doesn't matter to us.
Okay.
It really is up to you guys. Whatever you
want. We're just trying to make these young people.
Is the 30th too late?
No. That's the last day of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
But your preference, the 29th or the 30th?
Well, let's make it the 29th, okay. If that works.
And would you like that from 8 to noon?
Probably. Either that or 9. You guys have done 9 to noon okay. The last few years, I think. And we advertised it for 2 weeks in the Buffalo paper, and we send out a little notice with all the checks of the first meeting in June. And I'll send out a memo to the departments.
We're getting to that time again.
I know. It's coming by fast. And then, excuse me, are you still, the third Monday in July is the drop dead date to approve the new budgets. Are you wanting to wait that long, or?
We have, generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we usually move that meeting that would fall on the 19th to the 18th.
Yeah.
So I think that would be fine, and we'll schedule that at 9 a.m. So okay. I have a motion to set final bill pay for June 29th from 9 to noon, and the approval of the fiscal year budget on July 18th at 9 a.m.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then, Chairman Novotny, I have one other thing. Our primary election is August the 16th, and the general election is November the 8th. This past election year, not 21, but 20, you guys allowed that we could close the office to business other than recording and election. And it was very helpful to us because we did some curbside voting out in the back parking lot. And I think the curbside voting is still going to be something that we have to look at doing, even though there's no COVID yet. But I think it is going to be in the rules that it is an option. So I guess I'm asking maybe that you would take that into consideration. I guess you don't have to do it today, but I'd like to throw it out there.
You do that for both the primary and the general elections? Okay. I'll make that motion.
I have a motion from Commissioner Greeno to approve closure of the clerk's office to non-essential business on primary day, August 16th, and general election day, November 8th. Got a motion and second. Is there any discussion?
Is that regulated by the state that you have to do that?
No, it's not. In several counties, they use county personnel to help with elections.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've never reached that point where I've made that request. I'm doing this strictly because We're a small office. We're fairly short-handed, and we need everybody on election day.
I guess I was referring to the curbside. Is that going to be regulated by the state?
That, as near as I understand right now, that is in the rules that it is, we're supposed to be doing it. Probably at all the polling places, but this last election, the 2020 election, I put out enough information that we would do it here. We would handle it here,
right,
rather than at the polling places. Okay.
Makes sense. Thank you.
And it worked. So,
any additional questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of those changes to the clerk's office on August 16th and November 8th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, anything else on your to-do list?
I don't think so.
Okay. And for the benefit of the public, the clerk did present us this morning with the budget requests, and so the overall budget request number for the operating budget of Johnson County is $13,494,757.68. And we'll make this sheet available if you would like to see the individual increases or decreases in each of the office. Obviously, one of the increases that you'll see is in the elections department because it is an election year, so that is a natural increase in that budget. We'll make this available. Last year's final adopted operating budget was $11,617,382.98. So the departments and the other electeds have asked for increases, and so the commissioners will get up our magnifying glasses and our scalpels and we'll go to work.
Good.
Before we open it up to public comment, commissioners will be at the airport at 1:30 to meet with the Wyoming Aeronautics Commission for a tour of our airport facilities. So I don't think there's any additional business. Jody, do I need to sign that Mylar?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll get that signed, which would bring us to the end of our items on the agenda, and I'd open it up to public comment.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
In response to the fuel station, we're up for a bid this year on our fuel. That will expire July 1st, so I don't know if you want me to. I'm assuming I'll go ahead and solicit until we hear otherwise.
Absolutely,
definitely. And I will go back to the highway department and the school and the city and see if I can bring them off center.
Good luck.
Yeah, I have. Be the third time I've talked to him.
Well, we know you can be persuasive, Commissioner Perry, so if we need to find a big stick, we'll get you one. All right, is there any public comment? Public comment? Public comment. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. And so I'll just be mailing that to the school.